set it? No, it's not there. Okay.
Well, I guess since Doug said good evening this morning, I'll say good morning this evening. Anyway, I'm glad that everybody is here this evening. And our first song selection is 510 on Jordan Stormy Banks. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair land by and by, across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. We will rest in the fairy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? We will rest in the very happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. Filled with delight, my raptured soul would here no longer stay. Though Jordan's wave around me roll, fearless I'd launch away. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. If you will, turn with me to 843. Turn to 843. As a deer panteth for the water.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
I'll stand for prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity once again this evening to come together to worship. What a great way to end the Lord's day is with His people. We pray, Father, for those who are not able to be here. We also pray for David's mom and dad. We pray you bless and help and comfort them. Pray for Stacy's brother. We pray that he'll be able to be strengthened, that he can come back and be with us. And bless others, Father, that's not able to be here. We don't realize sometimes, Father, what it means to be here until we can't. Then we count our blessings more. We pray for continue to pray for our nation and the world. All this animosity and jealousy and hatred might cease, that we might live together in peace and harmony as you would have us do. We pray, Father, for those that have lost loved ones and gone through hardships, those who have gone through this great storm that's going up the East Coast. Pray, bless and protect them, Father. No one will lose their lives during that crisis. Be with us, Father, as we come through the coming week. Bless all of our men as they go about their jobs. Give them safety. We pray, Father, for our teachers, students, and bus drivers as they go about their jobs every day, Father, protect them. Also those, Michaela and Marissa and others, Father, that are away in college, protect them as well. Because, Father, there's so much violence going on. Please protect them all that they can make their trip to school and back home safely. Be with us all. Forgive our sin, Father. Give us a good day, good night's rest, and a good day tomorrow. And may we be able to come back to church on Wednesday night for Bible study. Bless Doug tonight as he breaks the bread of life. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you would mark 630, that will be our song of invitation. 630. Tell it to Jesus alone. Once you get that marked, I'd like for you to turn to 752. 752.
When my love to Christ grows weak. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper effect I see, then now I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shade, while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I see, hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold his agony, suffered on the bitter tree. To life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the light that lies in a full self-sacrifice.
Doug. Well, okay. Its button is not working. I don't know what to do, James. Can you help me, maybe? I don't know. I tried that. This is... Start it over again. Thank you. Let's see. It'll move here now. It's moving. Okay. Probably forget that. As we were singing that song, I was thinking about Jesus and showing favoritism. It's not really what I had planned to be a part of my lesson, but it is a part of God's plan. You think about what favoritism is. Where did Jesus first eat his first meal that we remember? Do you remember where he went? With the scribes and, he didn't eat with the scribes and Pharisees, did he? He ate with the sinners and publicans, tax collectors. And Jesus went where the people were at.
he found the people, the fishermen, what we would think of as as what maybe the society then would think of, simple people. You know, the fishermen, he brought in all kinds of different levels of people into his group. Jesus did not know favoritism, did not show that at all amongst the people. A text tonight, and it'll be on the screen, but you can turn to it if you would like as well, is James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. I think the first thing that we realize as we look at what Jesus did and as we look at our own lives, we must recognize that believers, Christians, don't show favoritism. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. It's not what we are. This is not who we are and what we do as Christians. We are not to be like that. It's not to be our nature. It's not to be the quality of life that we have, the quality of life that we give to others. And so God does not want us to have any measure of favoritism in our lives. An example of this he gives us in the text is seen starting in verse 2. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves? He's saying, you know, you should not discriminate. I think that our society and our churches for a long time could do that. I know that now it's just done out of preference, maybe somewhat more, but when I moved from South Dakota, where there was favoritism, I mean, there was between the white people and the Native Americans. But there was no black people that lived in South Dakota, or at least where I was living anyway. And so when we moved, when I was 16, we moved down to Kerrville, Texas, which is in South Texas, close to San Antonio. And I met a couple boys, black players on the team, that we became friends. And I invited them to church, and they said, "Sure, where do you go?" And I said, "The Church of Christ." And they said, "So do we." And I said, "No, you don't. I've never seen you there." And they said, "Well, there's a black church and a white church in town." And I said, "Really?" It just blew my mind. I could not comprehend that. Of course, I was a bit ignorant, I imagined, about that situation. But I think I found out as time went on is it wasn't so much discrimination anymore, but what people preferred as far as how they worship differently, somewhat, I mean, different enthusiasms, different things like that. But I still feel like that should not be there. It should not be that way. And he says, "And become judges with evil thoughts." Well, we're told not, "Judge not that you be not judged." We're told that, but we also are told that we should judge, don't judge those that are outside the church, but judge those within the church. In Corinthians it tells us that. So it's not a matter of, we're not judging people for the amount of money that they have, the color of their skin, the way that they look. Just think, as we think and begin to talk about and begin to plan an evangelism program to reach people, hopefully we're going to be able to reach out to people, and some of them may be men with long hair and tattoos something like that, because that's the way that they live, that's the way they've grown up. How are we going to treat them? How are we going to treat people like that? Or maybe women, young women would come in with really short skirts and, not dressing what we would think of as modest. Are we going to criticize them and not let them come in and worship with us and learn about God? I'm not saying we will, but I'm just saying this is what God is telling us not to do. We're not to discriminate those people. Yeah, we're to teach them. Yeah, we're to help them become Christians and help them to grow. But we need to be careful what we're doing if we want to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. It says, to God, discrimination is unbearable. Who did God make? He made all of us, right? He made everybody in this world. Now, people have really messed their lives up sometimes. It's true. Like the poor man that came into that worship service. He was poor and maybe he's barefooted and didn't look good. But God is telling them that you're to love that person just as much as everybody else. Think about rich man and Lazarus, right? who went to heaven or who went to the place of paradise? Well, it was Lazarus. And so we need to recognize that we need not to discriminate, for God does not discriminate. And evil judging is as bad as discriminating, or in a way a part of the discrimination that he is talking about here. Therefore, we talk about the rich and the poor here. Verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him? And again, he's using this example of rich and poor. Of course, it's not the only example that there is, but he's taking this example of the rich and the poor. And there's a lot of poor people in our world today. Poor people that have little, have nothing, dress poorly, and so on. And yet, we're to keep on loving them and keep on caring for them, no matter how they are dressed or what they look like. Who's the kingdom promised for? Who's the kingdom desired for? God wants all men everywhere to be saved, right? He wants all of us to do that. And so we have to look at ourselves, again, kind of like we talked about this morning from earlier in James today, that looking in that mirror, examining ourselves and see where we stand, of course, in all things like this. But you have insulted the poor, he tells them here. You've insulted the poor by doing these things and living this way amongst them. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? And, you know, I think we think about this, that we think about today in our culture, in our society, who is rich and who is poor? There's a big, big distinction. I mean, in America there is. I mean, we would say those that are on welfare, that live on welfare and so on, are those that are poor and so on. But who are the rich? In the eyes of the world, nearly every American, no matter what level of income they are rich. When you live in other countries, you understand that many people live on maybe $100 or $200 a month, even at that, sometimes. And so we realize that that you are rich. I mean, I was living on when I first was in Ukraine, I was living on about $600 a month, and I was rich in the eyes of the people. A rich American, you know, as you think about that. Are you not the ones who are dragging you into court? Of course, we know that Christians are not to do that, should not do that, but there are rich people that were doing that. Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Now, there's the problem. There comes one of the problems. There were rich people, of course, that were slandering the name. What did they say about Jesus? That's Beelzebub, right? That's the devil, casting out devils. You know, what do you think about him? He was the sham. He was breaking the Sabbath. He was eating on the Sabbath. He was healing on the Sabbath. We could just go on and on about what the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders thought about Jesus. Well, we're talking about right and wrong. If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Now, do you see how the scripture here that we talk about is the second greatest commandment, right? And if we love our neighbor as ourselves, that means we're going to love everybody. Remember the Good Samaritan, they said when Jesus is telling the story about the Good Samaritan, well, who is my neighbor? That's when the story about the Good Samaritan came about. Jesus ended up telling them that it was the Samaritan that was the one that was good and not the religious leaders of the time. We're to love everyone. That's what Jesus is trying, God is telling us here about this. He says, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. It's a sin. You know, sometimes we try to make difference between one sin and another, that one sin is worse than another sin. But here in this story, in this parable, in this lesson, he tells us it's different. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Now, I believe he's talking about the old law here at this point in time. Talking about, because that was so true, because if you broke one law, you were guilty of all of the law. He says, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit a murder, you'll become a lawbreaker. Or we could put it in there, if you steal, or if you lie, or if you cheat, or if you embezzle, if you, we could go on and on, right? Or if you show favoritism. These are all sins. And he tells us that one is just as bad as another. Therefore, we live, though, under a different kind of law. We are to act by the law of freedom. The freedom that means that Jesus came and died on the cross to take away our sins and to free us from sin. Verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. That's, what is that? That's the law of Jesus Christ, the law of freedom from sin, the law of grace, law of mercy that he's talking to about here. That's how we're to speak and that's how we're to act. That's how we're to judge, by the same way that God has judged us. You know, every one of us, if it was not for the blood of Christ, would be lost no matter how good a person we are, just as it is in anyone in the world. People need to realize that they need the blood of Jesus Christ to have forgiveness of sins and to walk with God. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Well, that comes back to it again, doesn't it? Remember, Jesus said, you know, pray so that you pray for others so that you can have your sins forgiven. Forgive others so you can have your sins forgiven. Do good to others and do good to you, as our scripture reading was from this morning. Judgment without mercy. Therefore, we're to show mercy to people and show mercy to give them, show them the love of God, show them what it means to be loved and to be cared for by God and blessed by God. That's what God calls us to do. That's what God calls us to be, to give mercy. Mercy, therefore, triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over favoritism. Mercy triumphs over hatred, over deception, over discrimination, and so on. Mercy of God, and let us be people of mercy rather than people of judgment. If you need to come to God, won't you come to him as we begin to think about these things a little bit deeper. Let's don't show favoritism of any kind to people. Don't judge with evil intent. We should be poor in spirit, right? And rich in faith, rich in loving one another. Don't insult anyone, no matter the condition of life that they are in. That's hard. That's hard sometimes. We see people, maybe people on the street, and say, well, they're just out there begging. They probably have a Cadillac someplace. I've heard that so many times from people, is that they're really not that poor. That's just the way that they earn money, is that they sit on the corner and beg. Let's don't insult anyone, no matter the condition of life that they are in. Don't exploit anyone because of your position in life, of where you're at in your life. Don't exploit it. Just bless and love and care for people. If we love our neighbor, then, therefore, as he tells us, we will not show favoritism. We will do the royal law of love, and not show favoritism. Remember that favoritism is as bad as any other sin, as adultery, as murder. Now, sometimes that's hard for us to picture, isn't it? Because we think that adultery and murder and those kind of sins are just really, really bad. Well, they are. But God is telling us that every sin, any sin, can separate us from God. We are judged, therefore, by the law of freedom. And we need to treat others that way. That is how we should judge others. That's how we should treat others. That's how we should love others, through the law of freedom that set us free. Remember that we are ambassadors for Christ through redemption. Again, mercy triumphs over judgment. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving? Overjoyed, departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do your tears flow down the chest of burden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that tumid eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell
us alone. Do you feel the gathering cause of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What will be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Think about that song, Tell It to Jesus Alone. But we can tell it to each other if we want to, if we need to. And therefore, we have fellowship that we can pray for one another. And it doesn't have to be just alone.
Do we have anyone here that has not had the opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper today? I didn't think so. I want to thank everyone for coming. The last song we have, I don't know if anybody hardly knows it, but I knew it, so that helped. I probably hadn't sung that one in a long time. Anyway, let's not forget about Wednesday night. 6 o'clock, tell your friends, your neighbors. We don't have to wait till Doug starts his lessons on some of this. And it's something we should already be doing. I'll remind everybody at the end of Matthew what it tells us to do in the last chapter, in the last 3 to 4 verses, for each of us to go out and teach. That's a reminder to all of us, because sometimes I think we fail to do that. Now, that doesn't mean we have to teach them from the front of the cover to the back, but if we can get them here, then they can be taught. And as Doug said earlier, it doesn't matter who's here. Once they learn the Bible, they will convict themselves to change their ways. And that takes time. And love. To gather people is the hardest point, and to keep them here is even harder. And that's all up to us. I believe that's it. David Hutchcrest, would you give us a closing prayer, please?
Let's go to our Father in heaven. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this evening to give thanks for this wonderful day, for the lessons we've learned here at church. We give thanks for the Bible. We give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us the opportunity to have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, throughout the world, there is much hunger, much thirst, and much strife. We ask that you bring the leaders of the world together that they may rectify the situation and bring comfort and healing. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those of our number of our congregation here that are suffering, that can't get to work, can't get to church, that have had bad diagnosis, that you bring healing to them as well. Heavenly Father, as we go out through the week, we pray that we can apply some of the lessons we've learned and spread your word, teach people to walk in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, please guide, guard, and direct us through this week till the next appointed meeting time on Wednesday. We ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.